GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Presidents Trump, Clinton, and other public officials are wishing a speedy recovery for former President Biden. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
First word of a possible issue came last week when Biden's office said a nodule was found in his prostate. Now his aides say the 82-year-old former president was diagnosed Friday with an aggressive form of prostate cancer. It has spread to the bone. Biden's office says the cancer appears to be hormone-sensitive, which, according to the statement, would allow for effective management. Biden and his family are said to be reviewing treatment options with his doctors.
After House Republicans advanced the Republican mega bill out of the Budget Committee Sunday night, the House Freedom Caucus Board of Conservative Republicans says it's still not satisfied with cost-cutting. The strike of engineers against the nation's third-largest commuter rail system, New Jersey Transit, is over with a tentative deal. Trains resume moving Tuesday. 28 tornado deaths this weekend. This is ABC News. Apparently, by their comments Sunday in Rome, where they met, the U.S. Vice President, the Italian Prime Minister, and European Union Commissioner may have tried to get along better. VP J.D. Vance.
I've said repeatedly that I think, you know, Europe is an important ally of the United States. The individual countries within Europe are important allies of the United States. But, of course, we have some disagreements, as friends sometimes do, on issues like trade.
EU Chief Ursula von der Leyen.
Everybody knows that the devil is in the detail, but what unites us is that at the end we want together to have a good deal for both sides.
The FDA has approved the first blood test to help diagnose Alzheimer's disease. Neurologist Dr. Lee Kroll of Maimonides Health says the test will be for those over the age of 55 already showing symptoms.
The test looks for two proteins in the blood that are linked to the brain changes we see in Alzheimer's, and it's over 90% accurate, so very, very good.
Alzheimer's update, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
As a fellow military veteran, I relied on my team to get through very difficult missions. We had each other's back and supported our teammates through thick and thin. If you find yourself struggling to make it another day or know someone who is, reach out. Support is at reachoutwis.org.
Paid for by Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment with support by the Medical College of Wisconsin, the War Memorial Center, and reachoutwis.org.
I love playing sports. Especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience. Where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Filling in the past week at center field, made the play of the day on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Tying run at the plate in the top of the eighth. Fly ball left center. Churio back, and he will leap and he caught it! Churio brought it back!
Brewer closer Trevor McGill saw Churio's catch from the bullpen.
Dude, I turned around last second. I just saw a glove like peeking over the wall with the ball, and I freaked out. That was badass. You know, him in center field. You know, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him.
Tonight, the Brewers open another home series against the Orioles. NBA. A report says Giannis Antetokounmpo will meet with the Bucks this week in Milwaukee to review the season and discuss what's next moving forward with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming mostly clear tonight with lows around 37. Partly sunny, mid-50s for Monday, breezy out of the northeast. Breezy for Monday night with a slight chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Rain is likely on Tuesday with a high near 53 and more showers Tuesday night.
Currently 42 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal, Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing.
I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you survived the storms across Wisconsin yesterday. Some pretty significant damage in Dodge County, as well as in the Twin Cities area, including around New Richmond, all across Western Wisconsin and Colby and Marathon County. Again, hope you made it through and are safe and sound rolling into the weekend here. Want to start with a bit of breaking news. If you haven't heard yet, five hardline right Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill that's going to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Yes, it is reversed Robin Hood. So you might think, oh, why did these Republicans vote against the bill? Maybe they actually want to do something for working poor and working people in the United States. No, they don't. They just want to gut even more of the things that help people keep going in these incredibly hard times. And just moments before we came back on air, word has come through. There is reporting that the United States has just lost its last perfect credit rating. What is a credit rating? Well, we all have them, so do nations. It's what credit rating agencies give to a borrower. The United States, when it issues treasury bills, is effectively borrowing from the folks that purchase those treasury bills. When your credit rating is downgraded, just like our credit scores as consumers, when you are downgraded, it means you are a higher credit risk for default, and it costs more. You have to pay more in interest. Please keep your eye on what's about to happen in the financial markets come Monday morning. This is also likely to drive interest rates up. So remember those cheap eggs, gas, and housing that Donald Trump promised? You know, peace between Ukraine and Russia in a day, all those things. Yeah, ain't happening and not happening anytime soon. Also breaking today, Judge Hannah Dugan, that is the Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, who was arrested on Good Friday for some, what I'm going to call, kind of bogus charges for basically controlling her courtroom, which she is entitled absolutely to do. those are federal charges. By the way, the penalties on those, I think, run on the two charges run somewhere north of 5 years and $350,000 in damages. Well, she has set up a legal defense fund to help pay her attorneys in that case. Now, make note of this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what someone does when they actually care about conflicts of interest and ethics. Here's what Judge Dugan did with her legal defense fund. There are incredibly tight restrictions on who can donate to this because the judge intends to return to the bench. You cannot donate to the judge's defense fund if you are a Milwaukee County resident. So if you live in the county in which she sits as a judge, can't donate. You can't donate if you're an attorney that practices anywhere in Milwaukee County. You can't donate if you're a lobbyist or work for a lobbying firm. You can't donate if you're another Wisconsin judge. You can't donate if you are a person with a pending case before Milwaukee County Circuit Court, and you cannot donate if you are a county employee. And yes, the only people who can donate are U.S. citizens. They set up a separate blind trust. Hey, That seems to make some sense, does it not? And that trust will be monitored by specialized legal counsel with specialties in legal ethics, and it will be overseen by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do it when you actually care about ethics and conflicts of interest. I say bravo, Hannah. Well done. Also in other breaking news, former FBI Director James Comey is now apparently under investigation from the Department of Justice for posting a picture on social media of seashells on a beach that were arranged to spell out 8647. He posted on Instagram, "Cool shell formation on my beach walk." In a follow-up post, he said that he assumed the shells were a political message, and he said, "I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down." Now, the term 86 used to be used first in restaurant circles, hospitality circles, meaning 86, the shrimp. The shrimp is gone. We don't have any more of that. Let be 86 that. It's expanded to mean 86, meaning to rub somebody out if you're in the mafia. So this is what happened, sort of the errant social media post. Do I think this was appropriate? No. Do I think it should be condemned? Yes. Do I condemn it? Yes. You got to do better than that, former FBI Director James Comey. But did it merit this from National Security Secretary Tulsi Gabbard talking to Jesse Waters? Take a listen.
You know, whatever his intent, I will tell you that there is a guy in Georgia who was issuing threats on my life about a month ago, and he's in jail today. He has been indicted with a crime, as he should have been, and he is in jail as we speak. So whatever James Comey intent, he and people like him need to be held to account according to the law, which is something that he claims to have given his life for and stands by the rule of law. Fantastic. The rule of law says people like him who issue direct threats against the president of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Are you frickety fracking kidding me? I mean, I don't know how someone gets through that interview maintaining a straight face. A position of influence and people must be held accountable under the law. I'm sorry. Did somebody like Men in Black, like delete Tulsi Gabbard's memory about January 6th? No one thinks this smacks a bit of hysteria and total hypocrisy and double standards. Again, I condemn what Jim Comey posted. It was stupid. But the idea to even suggest that Jim Comey actually means that someone should assassinate Donald Trump is both ludicrous as hyperbole as it is on a literal basis. Jim Comey's too smart to think that if someone actually killed Donald Trump, that would probably create a complete martyr situation. The man would become that. He doesn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Please, no one harm whatever that stuff is on top of Donald Trump's head. Please do not harm a hair, floof, whatever, Aquanet, whatever that is. Don't harm the man. I want Donald Trump ensconced in a balloon, a bubble boy area of protective comfort for the rest of his days. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. No, 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 no. I was enraged when someone tried to kill him. That is so absurdly ridiculous that it beggars explanation. And Tulsi Gabbard knows it. She knows it. And as if there was not enough, completely mind-boggling hypocrisy, I just wanted to share with you this additional little fact from the day's breaking news. We were talking a bit about the Supreme Court's birthright citizenship case that they heard yesterday. I was talking about that with my first guest host today, Jim Santel. And I forgot to note this, again, on the hypocrisy theme this afternoon. Guess who came out and said they think birthright citizenship should go away? Just I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. A widely reviled senator. A widely reviled senator, maybe a senator who, while half of his state was facing blackouts and bizarre freezing cold weather and people were dying, maybe went on a vacation, Yes, the answer to this question is Ted freaking Cruz said we should get rid of birthright citizenship. Now, if you forget about Ted Cruz, he was born in Canada and his dad was born in Cuba. Now, is Ted Cruz a citizen? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. His mother was an American citizen. But again, I think that Ted, you might want to try that one out before you ride it off into the sunset. Might be a little bit of a bumpy ride on that one. Hypocrisy seems to be the theme of the day. The Republican Party saying that they're for middle class and working people while providing the largest tax cuts to 100 millionaires, billionaires, and mega corporations. Yeah, that's what they're debating today. Actually, that their tax cut plan would reduce the net income of the poorest Americans and would likely not help at all the vast majority of the middle class. Yep, that's hypocrisy number one. We got Tulsi Gabbard, hypocrisy number two, calling for the former FBI director to be jailed. And hypocrisy number three, Ted Cruz telling everybody that he doesn't believe in birthright citizenship. Doesn't get much worse than this. Ollie from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon?
Well, just a little bit of hypocrisy by way of our new king. Wasn't it him who reposted, just as Comey did, a picture of Biden on the back of a truck where it looks like Biden's dead? Trump reposted that, and none of the Republicans called for his arrest.
Yeah, Ali, that's the point, right? The brand of the Republican Party is rules for thee and none for me. It is two sets of operating rules. One for Democrats. You got to tell the truth. You got to have ethics. You got to be above reproach. And we can say all kinds of inflammatory, incendiary, violence-inducing things, and nobody bats an eye. In fact, we'll pardon January 6th insurrectionists that beat the crap out of cops. Nothing to see here, folks. When I come back, we're going to discuss what real system change looks like. Because we got an example of it right here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm also going to be dropping the word of the day. It's Free Ticket Friday. You want to get your Brewers tickets? Keep it locked right here. We'll be back after these brief messages on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
I would love to shower at a truck stop. Love to eat at a truck stop. Watch TV at a truck stop. I'm fine with that part.
I think there's not good stuff that happens at truck stops. I don't know, John.
I would be on my best behavior.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. You write me.
Write you a postcard.
Do you have a stamp?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Freedom Town Chair and Director of Parks for Outagamie County, Justin Schumacher. Do you think the bureaucracy is responding to the needs of the people?
No, I think if it was responsive, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now. That doesn't mean we burn the entire system down. How do we solve it? Get involved. Join your Parks Committee. Recognize where we're not good and improve it.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday afternoon. We're cruising through the afternoon. Hopefully, you're cruising home from work. Please drive safely out there. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's start with the fun stuff, shall we? It is Free Ticket Friday all summer long, all across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network, from morning until the afternoon. In each one of our shows that comes to you locally, in your neck of the woods, we are dropping words to win during our talk programs. All you need to do is text that word to win using the Civic Media app. You can get that app wherever you get your apps from for free. You text that in, you'll get a bounce back text that acknowledges that we've received it. And then on Monday, you will be notified if you are one of our lucky Free Ticket Friday Brewers Ticket Giveaway winners. We're giving away 4 club-level seats, beautiful view of the ballpark. Today's tickets are for this coming Wednesday, May 21st. There's a 12-10 game versus the Baltimore Orioles. Ooh, I do love me some Baltimore. The Wire is one of my favorite shows of all time. I have been in Camden Yards. It is gorgeous. But this game, ladies and gentlemen, is at AmFam Field. Again, if you want to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers game for this Wednesday, May 21st at 12:10, just text in the word WIN. That is W-I-N as in winning, win, W-I-N, via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win for wonderful tickets to this coming Wednesday's Brewers game. But let's get back to the news business. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about system change and how damnedly difficult it actually is. And I want to talk about the Milwaukee Public School System. MPS has been, I think, an example of lack of good governance, lack of good fiscal controls, lack of good oversight, right? And they are, again, today there was some breaking news that the state is looking at withholding funding because they continue to fail to produce the fiscal reports that they need to. There's a new superintendent, and she's been doing a lot of things. She's brought in new auditors. She's looking to reduce the amount of administrators that are in central office, trying to move positions back into the schools. There's a lot happening here. Big systems produce big, complicated, challenging system problems. And there was also a bit of news this week that the Milwaukee business community, including Bader Philanthropies, Baird, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Herb Cole Philanthropies, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Northwestern Mutual, Rockwell Automation, We Energies, and Waco, that they're going to commit $500,000 to help Milwaukee public schools implement and address the system changes and problems that were identified by independent auditors over the past year. And they did this because they believe in the new superintendent. According to Greater Milwaukee Committee President Joel Brennan, he said that MPS Superintendent Brenda Caselius has, quote, set a tone about her accessibility, her sense of urgency on the job, and the enormity of the task in front of her. And I wanted to use this as an example, as a contrepoint, as it were, to what Donald Trump has been doing with the federal government. Real system change is difficult. It's time-consuming. And oftentimes, while you must move with urgency and focus, it requires some level of consensus building, not just with the people directly involved, but with all stakeholders. I know this. I have worked to reform systems myself. I did it running one of the city of Milwaukee's retirement plans. I built it, rebuilt it from the ground up. I did it in the Office of Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. It took me couple of years at least to do that. But the feeling of change, I will say, the illusion of change, the smoke and mirrors of change, that's pretty easy to do. It's also easy to just break things and not actually fix them or improve them. It's easy. English, Maggie, it's even easier, in my opinion, to tell people that you're changing things, give them the illusion of change, and actually be not just breaking it, but biasing systems to benefit a select few. When people have distrust of systems and institutions, if you come in, you brand yourself as a change agent, you say, I'm doing this, and everybody says, yes, let's go do this. And nobody's really watching how you're, quote, fixing the system. Maybe you're just, you know, giving handouts to your buddies. In my opinion, if you contrast all of the deep embedded system problems in NPS and all of the ways that we know that that system has to improve, and you contrast what NPS new superintendent Brendan Caselius is trying to do, in partnership with the business community, in partnership with the teachers' unions, in partnership with the school board, in partnership with the greater Milwaukee community writ large. Boy, does that stand in sharp contrast to the, I'm going to tell you I'm fixing the problems, but what I'm actually doing is just breaking the whole damn thing and taking the scraps and handing them out to all my favored cronies and the wealthy, which is what Donald Trump is doing. Beware the snake oil salesman of change. Real change is hard, it takes time, and oh yeah, it takes some level of competence. When we come back, we're having that favorite Friday segment called Ask Maggie, where you get to ask me whatever the heck you want, and I, at least hypothetically, have a time-delimited period to answer your questions. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ask Maggie's next.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Presidents Trump, Clinton, and other public officials are wishing a speedy recovery for former President Biden. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
First word of a possible issue came last week when Biden's office said a nodule was found in his prostate. Now his aides say the 82-year-old former president was diagnosed Friday with an aggressive form of prostate cancer. It has spread to the bone. Biden's office says the cancer appears to be hormone-sensitive, which, according to the statement, would allow for effective management. Biden and his family are said to be reviewing treatment options with his doctors.
After House Republicans advanced the Republican mega bill out of the Budget Committee Sunday night, the House Freedom Caucus Board of Conservative Republicans says it's still not satisfied with cost-cutting. The strike of engineers against the nation's third-largest commuter rail system, New Jersey Transit, is over with a tentative deal. Trains resume moving Tuesday. 28 tornado deaths this weekend. This is ABC News.
A win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-2 victory over the Twins, ending Minnesota's 13-game winning streak. Top of the eighth, the Twins' Royce Lewis looked as if he'd hit his second home run of the day. But Jackson Churio, filling in the past week at center field, made the play of the day on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Tying run at the plate in the top of the eighth. Fly ball, left center, Churio back.
Brewer closer Trevor McGill saw Churio's catch from the bullpen.
Dude, I turned around last second. I just saw a glove like peeking over the wall with the ball, and I freaked out. That was badass. You know, him in center field. You know, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him.
Tonight, the Brewers open another home series against the Orioles. NBA. A report says Giannis Antetokounmpo will meet with the Bucks this week in Milwaukee to review the season and discuss what's next moving forward. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Scarlett Johansson says after her breakout role in 2003's Lost in Translation, she enjoyed success, but it came with the baggage of being offered acting roles that objectified her. The actress told Vanity Fair that she felt she was being exploited and had to have a talk with her representatives about what kind of roles she wanted. She also said her co-star in the film, Bill Murray, was in a strange place during the filming, saying that he was dealing with stuff. Love when people allude to things but don't give you the full tea. She did say she thinks Murray is in a much better place now as life has humbled him. If you haven't seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, it's a great movie and Johansson is excellent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming mostly clear tonight with lows around 37. Partly sunny, mid-50s for Monday, breezy out of the northeast. Breezy for Monday night with a slight chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Rain is likely on Tuesday with a high near 53 and more showers Tuesday night. Right now, 40 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, hope you're having a fine afternoon. Welcome and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, every Friday we've been doing this little segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you gosh darn want. And the catch here is I either get 20, 30 seconds, or maybe if Jamie's feeling really generous, a whole minute to answer your imponderables. Jamie, of course, is my senior producer. She joins me now for this great segment. If you want to send your questions in, you can do so on the text line. You can email us at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We take those all week long. Again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can even give us a buzz, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how you doing? It's nice you're in Milwaukee this afternoon. I'm going to be able to see you after the show.
I know. It's very exciting. I got to tell you, though, I'm exhausted. My kid is working me really, really hard. I'm here because I'm going to be hosting MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College's Student Ops Day, where they basically take over PBS tomorrow. And he needed a host. I told him I should be 52nd in line. Turns out he went through all 52 choices, and here we are. This is what we do for our kids. I'm exhausted. I have been over at the studio since like 7 a.m. and wrapped up literally about 15 minutes before the show started, and got here today so that, you know, we could have a little radio fun and create a little radio magic at the same time. So.
Little radio fun. Speaking of a little radio fun, we are in the midst of Free Ticket Friday. Remember, nice. If you want to win 4 tickets to this Wednesday's 12:10 Brewers game against the Baltimore Orioles, use the Civic Media app and text the word WIN, W-I-N. Remember, all of the rules of the contest you can find at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Just go to Civic Media's website. You can find the rules.
Text it. There. Just text it through the app. That's easy.
That's right. Text through the app, WIN. You'll get a bounce back acknowledging your text, and we will let you know on Monday if you won. But let's see what listeners have for me this
all
Friday,
right.
Jamie.
Before we get started, we've got this really fun new intro that, because of all the breaking news on Fridays, we haven't even got to roll this out yet. So, Jacob, let's hit that because I'm so excited for you to hear it.
Yay.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. That's amazing, Jamie. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Got to have a little fun. If you haven't noticed, we're going with the game show theme where it's a little bit like, whose line is it anyway? Points don't matter. You're not going to win anything, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun at the end. And so the last couple of editions of Ask Maggie have been more on a serious note. So I feel like we should do maybe a couple more serious, but have a little bit of fun today as well. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I could use some fun.
Okay. All right. So the first question that we're going to ask today is from Amy, and she texted in from Onalaska, and she wants to know, Maggie Dawn, do you have any big plans for the weekend? So Jacob, we'll give Maggie 30 seconds for this one. If you've got any big plans.
will. First of all, my plan is to have a drink with my amazing senior producer, Jamie, after my show this afternoon. We might have a little bite to eat. Tomorrow, I've got dinner with my mom and dad. A week later, celebration of Mother's Day. I'm not a big out-to-brunch person for these sorts of events, so dinner it is. And maybe, maybe the opera Carmen with my mom on Sunday. Did you read that the woman who's singing the lead in Carmen, I think her name, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she's from Sheboygan originally, and she has sung with the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. She's quite talented, so looking forward to that with my mom. It should be awesome. Good fun.
Awesome. We're going to have a little bit of a family day as well, because not only is the kid hosting and producing this live show, my baby's graduating from college tomorrow as well. So it's of a big deal.
Congratulations your family.
Thank you. I'm very excited. And then the 18-year-old, since we homeschool, we've got to finish up some math, and then he'll eventually get to the graduation part too. My kids are not pomp and circumstance kids, though. Never have been. So I never got to do the dances, right? No proms, anything like that. They weren't pomp and circumstance over high school graduation. And now tomorrow, mom will be working, and the kid's literally going to walk across the stage. He's going to get his diploma, and then he's going to run back to PBS. So he's like, you don't really need to be there for that, mom. I was like, seriously, I don't get anything.
Graduation ceremonies are kind of a drag. Unless you have like the best commencement speaker ever.
Yes.
They're kind of a drag for everybody involved. The kids are itching to get out of there. So are the family. They just want to see their kid walk across the stage.
So I don't even know if we get that tomorrow, but that's besides the point. Your weekend sounds awesome. And again, like a whole lot of fun. So let's get to another question though. Let's do, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm going to give you a minute on this one, because it's a little bit of the economics and tariffs. All right. And Jim actually just called in. Jacob just got to speak with him. He is from Kenosha. And Jim's question is this: why does Walmart charge such a markup and pass tariffs on to the customer? So 1 minute for this one when you're ready, Maggie.
Well, if we zoom way out, there's been such consolidation in so many industries. So whether or not you're talking about on Walmart's grocery end or on their retail end, Walmart can actually shrink their input or their purchase price of the supplies that they need or the things that they're selling to you because they have such market power, right? Which means on a per item basis, even if Walmart's margins shrink a lot, they're still going to make a profit. Now, what happens when you've got inflation or tariffs and it drives prices for retail goods like clothing, sneakers, school supplies, or groceries up, is that a lot of retailers, even when inflation comes down and even when tariffs peel off, will keep their prices high because now their margin is huge. And I believe it's something like 90% of Americans live within 10 minutes of a Walmart. So many of our friends and family rely on Walmart for their basic groceries and household goods and just everyday items. So excuse me. One of the things that I think has gotten lost in a lot of this discussion is the fact that so many industries across the United States have consolidated to such a degree that a very small handful of companies, and I mean like five or six or less, can, without getting in a room, almost price fix at a level that is above where it would be if there was a healthy healthy and robust competitive market. So thanks for that very nerdy, wonderful question, Jim.
It is a good question. And Walmart just made big news yesterday because they were on the news networks. They're one of their financial advisors or financial gurus, I'll call him. I don't know what his official title was, talking about how because of the tariffs, they're going to start have to increasing their prices. And that's overall going to affect people all across, as you were saying, across the country. So that is a really good question. And I think I mean, you've been talking about this. We're just starting to see what the tariffs are going to create for the average family, right? I mean, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Even with the rollback in the Chinese tariffs, we're still at the highest average tariff rate that our country has seen basically since post-World War II. And what's particularly pernicious, Jim, and just to talk about, we talked about this with Richard Trent of the Main Street Alliance, I believe, on Wednesday, which if you missed that show, you can go find it at civicmedia.us or on Apple Pods or Spotify, is that for small businesses, if their margin shrinks and shrinks and shrinks because tariffs have gone up and they do not believe they can pass that tariff on to their customers, or customers stop buying their goods because they're so much more expensive, that small business just goes under. Walmart and other massive, what I'm going to call mega corporations, are much more easily able to absorb parts of tariffs and or uncertainty over a period of time simply because of economies of scale. Economies of scale generally means if you have large-scale market integration, in other words, vertical integration or horizontal integration, all these business school terms, you're so big that fluctuations kind of smooth out for you. That's like the really distilled down way to explain that.
Yeah.
So again, tariffs really ultra painful for small businesses. It's why, again, talking with Richard Trent, we're going to be looking at, I think, tens of thousands of small businesses going under. We're going to see, I think, increases in bankruptcy filings and the like because of this prolonged uncertainty and this extraordinarily high tariff level. And, of course, consumer confidence released today, some reports on that, the lowest it has been in a very long time. Consumers and businesses freaked out. What does that mean? Businesses hold on to cash, consumers stop spending, it tightens up the economy, you can end up with stagflation, which means the economy isn't growing, it's either stagnant or actually shrinking, meaning GDP isn't going up, and inflation. Okay, I've gone on far too long. Thank you, Jim from Kenosha. I've just nerded out about econ on
it's important, and it's totally cool that you're nerding out about it, because we have to keep having these conversations, because real people are going to be affected. And I think what you just said is important. I mean, this kind of feels like the George W. Bush, at least it could feel like the George W. Bush economy on steroids. That's kind of what it feels like. And that's kind of the looming feeling I continue to get as we kind of wiffle waffle back and forth on all of this tariff talk. And one day it's this, one day it's not. One day we're rolling things back. One day we aren't. I mean, it just feels like an entire recession, stagnation, inflation, like I said, on steroids. That's what it feels like right now.
Well, it's like just bust out Ferris Bueller's Day Off and listen to the back and forth in the high school economics class that explained that Smoot-Hawley and the tariffs imposed then drove the United States deeper and deeper into the Great Depression. Yeah. We don't want to see that here. Thanks Jim from Kenosha, for your excellent question.
Good question. Okay. Do we have time for one more this segment?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. No. Jacob says no.
No, we do.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, Jacob is the boss of both you and I, Jamie.
He's the time overlord, and that's cool. Somebody's got to be that, right?
Someone's got to do all the heavy lifting and hard work around here.
You've got a minute and 5 seconds, ladies.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what, we can do a 20-second question.
Can we do a 20-second? We can do a 20-second.
I'll ask it really quickly.
A really quick one. This came in on the text line, and the question is, what is your favorite beer? Porter Stout, Scotch, Ale, Lager? This person, I'm sorry I don't have your name because I'm looking at it quickly in our chat. 20 seconds, what's your favorite beer?
I love a red ale. I am one of those weirdos. Love a red ale. That is my jam. Thanks so much to Jamie. Thanks so much to each and every one of you for your questions. Remember, you can submit those. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us or on our text line 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to have some closing thoughts on the passing of Justice Souter and what he stands for, an exemplar for lawyers, judges, and Americans alike. Keep it locked.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
I would love to shower at a truck stop. Love to eat at a truck stop. Watch TV at a truck stop. I'm fine with that part.
I think there's not good stuff that happens at truck stops. I don't know, John.
I would be on my best behavior.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. You write me.
Write you. A postcard.
Do you have a stamp?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. So former Supreme Court Justice Souter died last Thursday. And he's most well known for being a Republican appointee who did not follow Republican orthodoxy as a Supreme Court justice. And the phrase, not another Souter, became sort of the rallying call amongst Republicans. I wanted to talk about him a little bit because I actually think Justice Souter provides not just an example for lawyers and judges about how to be a great lawyer, how to be a great judge or justice, as the case may be. But I think he provides an example to every single American about what actual patriotism is in this moment. Because one of the things that I have noted is that
it is so difficult, and in my opinion, very much difficult, very differently difficult, for Democrats or liberals or progressives to have a calm discussion with fervent Trump supporters. In contrast, I find it the case that many Democrats will concede points, acknowledge uncomfortable truths and facts when confronted with them by Republicans and especially the MAGA faithful, will acknowledge that there is middle ground, will point out extremism when we see it. In other words, I think, generally speaking, Democrats are more likely to have a fair and good faith argument and discussion about policy and politics. And I wanted to read for all of you something that Justice Souter wrote. He was speaking about how to be a great judge, but what he really was saying is to be a great American, we must be willing to be even-handed, open-minded, humble, and then careful and explicit when we are arguing about a legal case or about policy and politics. So I wanted to share this with you. I found it again, courtesy of Georgetown University Law Professor Stephen Vladek. So here it goes. This is Justice Souter. He was writing about another legal historian that he admired. And the language is rich, but stay with me here because I think it's quite powerful. Chronic even-handedness compels a judge to come out and say what he or she was really choosing between. The torment of competing reasons forced the judge to face the very facts that placed his principles in tension. And not just to face the facts, but to heft them and feel their weight until finally the needle of his mind moved off dead center. The account of judge and man and their mutual integrity are companions. Not about what a judge's judging was, but about what anyone's judging ought to be. To place evidence out in plain sight, to explain your reasoning unhurried, that the analysis has no shortcuts, that there are no stretches lost from sight behind some edifice of generality, that your relentless honesty in testing evidence and treating issues create an atmosphere around each case and each question. Every judge has common obligations to be suspicious of easy cases, skeptical about clear-edged categories and bright-line rules, to be modest in the face of precedent, candid in playing one worthy principle against another, and to have the nerve to do it in concrete facts on an open page. We are all urged to hunt for, quote, general guidance from close examination of the particular, acknowledging that details spark the intuition and real judging gets done from the ground up. So we come to a judicial paradox that we have no hope of serving the most exalted without respecting the most concrete. Judicial duty points to Blake's grain of hand. It is what the old common law judges understood and what Antoninus knew, whose strength never failed him until he lost touch with the earth. While I cannot tell you what I will do with the dilemmas, the cases already on the way to my court, I think I will know enough to treat with them by being the kind of judge that common law requires. To know that you haven't got the answers up your sleeve, to not prejudge, but to decide the cases as they come along. this lesson is so simple. Justice Souter took his obligation to analyze questions as they come along without pre-deciding them, without adherence to team or tribe. This is every American's call to action today. I say, not never again, any Souters. We need more Justice Souters. We need you to be a Justice Souter. That's going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabba. I'm Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Biden's office says he's diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer that spread to the bone. Emergency medicine physician Dr. Stephanie Widmer.
Prostate cancer in general is a treatable form of cancer, even if it cannot be cured. And a lot of people, even elderly people, can live with it for a long period of time.
After House Republicans advanced the Republican mega bill out of budget committee Sunday night, the House Freedom Caucus Board of Conservative Republicans says it is still not satisfied with cost cutting. South Carolina Republican Congressman Ralph Norman.
Had some great changes. Got a lot more to work to do. We're excited about what we did. We wanted to move the bill forward, and it went like I thought.
The strike of train engineers that started Friday against New Jersey Transit is over with a tentative deal. Train service resumes Tuesday. Israel says it will allow a limited amount of humanitarian aid into Gaza. This is ABC News.